Are you ready to unlock the full potential of LinkedIn and transform your profile into a client attracting magnet? Well, in this episode of the Marketing Strategy Academy podcast, we are going to dive into the secrets of using LinkedIn to organically grow your business into a 6 or 7 figure powerhouse. So we are going to explore effective strategies for personal branding, content creation, and networking that are currently working wonders on LinkedIn. So if you are a coach or a consultant or an entrepreneur, and you are specifically looking for other business owners to partake of your services, this is going to be the episode that you want to listen to. If marketing is something that you want to learn more about for your business, I am so excited. I have been wanting to get somebody on this subject for a while. And I'm so excited that Amy Smith of Aligned Tribes is here. Amy Smith is a business coach, speaker, and LinkedIn marketing specialist. Amy's work has been featured in the CEO Global magazine, and she was recently dubbed one of the top 15 business coaches in 2023 by CEO Weekly magazine. Amy's personally grown her own LinkedIn profile to over 29,900 connections, and I'm sure probably growing at this point, and has helped over 1,800 business owners and executives to leverage LinkedIn effectively. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So tell me a little bit about the jobs that came before and how you got to what you're doing right now.
Yeah, awesome. Happy to share. I think for, you know, many entrepreneurs out there, they can have this kind of like rags to riches story where they were like sleeping on their sister's couch and they were, you know, trying to find their last $2 to actually start a business. And for me, that wasn't my story at all. In fact, I kind of, you know, did all the right things according to society, I guess, you know, went to university, college, found myself in the corporate landscape and was working in executive recruitment and human resources roles for a lot of years. And so I actually spent, you know, the first part of my career on LinkedIn, but very much behind the scenes. So, you know, I was very much using it as a recruiting platform. And so I was always really fascinated about the coaching and the consulting. At the same time, I hit that point in my career where I was kind of thinking, like, what else is there out there for me to do? And I'd always had this little inkling in the back of my mind that I wanted to work for myself at some point, but I just hadn't had the idea, or I just didn't know what that looked like yet. And at the time, my mum was actually running a coaching business. And so she was the first person to kind of tap me on the shoulder and just say, like, hey, you know, do you want to be doing this? Like, why don't you come and help me in my business? And so she was actually the first one that really encouraged me to quit my corporate job, remove myself, I guess, out of that sort of safety environment of job security, which, you know, I kind of don't believe in anymore anyway. But then she was the first person that kind of said, hey, you know, quit your job. What ended up happening was, as Tony Robbins says, I kind of burnt all the bridges in a nice way. I left on good terms. Everything was great. But I did put that line in the sand and go, okay, well, now this is what I want to do moving forward. So I ended up quitting a job that I loved at the time. I had a great team. Everyone thought I was crazy. I moved back home with my parents. So I gave up an apartment that I loved, which had, you know, Sydney Harbour views and all of these nice things. And I started helping my mum behind the scenes in her coaching business. So she was already at 6 figures in the business, and we took that business to multiple 7 figures together. And then I was starting up my own career coaching business on the side too. So I naturally had people in my network that kind of just knew my experience from HR and recruitment that were asking for help. And that's really kind of how I got started.
Wow. So it's similar. I was an executive recruiter for 15 years before I jumped into my own business. To kick things off, what are some common mistakes that business owners make when using LinkedIn for lead generation and client acquisition?
So one of the big things that I find, and, you know, I was no different when I first got started as well. You know, I was very much used to call myself a LinkedIn lurker behind the scenes, where I was kind of just used to playing behind the scenes and not really putting myself out there on the platform. So I think one of the biggest things is not being as active on the platform, you know, having a profile that kind of sits there and we kind of cross our fingers and hope and wish that someone's going to come across and find us.
I built it. They will come.
Exactly. So, you know, the platform is really built around being a networking, you know, social business relationship style platform. And so you have to show up and you have to be active in that way. And the other big mistake I see a lot of people making is if they do that, they've forgotten about the foundations. So it's really important to get the foundations right in the first place. And when I talk about foundations, I'm talking about your profile, because that's kind of like your home base on LinkedIn. So for anyone that's coming across you, and I'm sure we've all had this experience of people stalking our profile and viewing our profile, we're kind of like, oh, who's that? And so when people do that, we actually want to put our best foot forward and we want to make the right first impression. And we actually, if we're doing it for business purposes, we want to make sure that our profiles are actually working as a lead generation tool in the business as well, not just there for the sake of it, but it's actually an asset that we can use in our businesses as well. So there are a couple of things, is sort of not being active, not having the foundations right, and just being, you know, really scared to start as well, I think is a big one for a lot of people.
Excellent. And we'll dive in more to give some tips on that profile as an FYI. So bear with us here. Content is king, but context is queen. So in your experience, what types of content currently work really well on LinkedIn and why?
Yeah. So I get asked this question a lot, you know, in terms of the type, should I be writing on LinkedIn? Should I be doing video, like long form or short form? Like what kind of works? And the truth is that a lot of it does work. It's just about finding what resonates with your market and what is actually going to play to your strengths as well. I think a lot of people can get really caught up in the medium of what that looks like. And they kind of feel like, well, I have to do video because everyone else on there is doing video. When in fact, they might be, you know, a great writer and they love to write and that comes really naturally and easy to them as well. So I think sometimes it's less about, you know, the type of content, but it's more about making sure that you're actually speaking to the right people as well. And you're not trying to speak to everyone with your content. So it's one of those things where you really have to decide on what you want to be known for on the platform, what really aligns to your business goals, and make sure everything fits, kind of like a puzzle, so that people have a really streamlined way of getting to know you and then also getting to work with you as well. And so a really great example of this is one of my clients, Melvin, who was quite intimidated when he first joined LinkedIn. He, in his own words, was saying that he's quite a private person and he didn't really like the thought of having to put himself out there. So he's had a big corporate career and he's never really had to push his own brand, right? I think that was, you know, in my case, that was the same as well. And I'm sure Jen, you might have experienced that too, where if we're selling someone else's brand, there's no problem. It's
easy,
fine.
Easy.
I'm happy at all. And when it comes to ourselves, we're like, oh, I'm not sure. And he felt the same. And so he decided that, you know, video wasn't for him. That wasn't where he wanted to play. And he just started doing some posts with which had some images around the work that he was doing. And it was only his sixth ever post that he did on LinkedIn where someone actually reached out to him behind the scenes. Long story short, they ended up working together. And that was a $300,000 consulting project. Just
wow.
From him being brave enough to start posting in his own way as well. So he didn't
whatever way worked for him. Sure.
Yeah, but he knew his audience and he knew how he wanted to show up for them. So I think that's the most important part.
Very, very good. For those who have very dormant LinkedIn profiles or for newcomers coming to the platform, what are some first steps that they should take to kickstart their business or personal brand growth on LinkedIn?
Yeah, awesome. I think I've kind of sort of touched on it, but just really knowing who you want to speak to, like who is that
And that
person?
Comes with all marketing. Let's just be honest. Yeah. If you are in your business and you're like, I have no idea really who my, that's the first place to start.
It really is. And I think if you're doing it on other channels as well, like there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing that on LinkedIn. I think sometimes we can get really caught up in trying to like follow the trends or look at what other people are doing on the platform, when in actual fact, it just means that you have to start to be active and engage with others as well. So LinkedIn is a platform where you have to kind of give in order to get back. And so one of the first things that you can do is make sure that you're showing up and engaging with others and adding value in terms of comments and other things with other people as well. It's usually like the really easy first way to start if you're just sort of dipping your toe in the water and you want to experience the platform. And from there, it would be really starting to create your own voice on the platform as well, making sure that you've got your profile that is set up in a way that people can find you easily, that works with the algorithm, that makes sure that it is really aligned to who you want to speak to, and they have a really easy way of coming into your world and working with you. And also defining what I call your super niche, which is really like, who is the specific person that you really want to be talking to, and start to show up from there. Creating content consistently on the platform is one way that will really, really accelerate your network. I remember when I first got started, my first video that I ever did on LinkedIn took me like 6 hours. And it took 2 minutes to film the video and then like 5 hours and 58 minutes to actually build up the courage to post it. And so I think we all go through some level of that when we start to go from having a dormant profile to really starting to put ourselves out there on the platform. But it's about starting before you're ready or feeling ready. And just, yes, you know, you can have all the feelings around whether you're doubting yourself or you're worried about if other people are going to judge you or whatever that feels like for you. And it's just about taking that first step and just diving in and being consistent from there as well.
So one thing that I've told clients who are very uncomfortable, you know, putting themselves out there, there's a couple ways of looking at it. One way that usually gets my clients who don't want to do it to actually show up is, you're not helping people if you're not getting out there. And if your passion, and most of my clients who are not wanting to show up as themselves on social media, they're very passionate about giving and mm-hmm. offering great advice. So consider all the people that you're being selfish on not showing up that you could be actually helping. Even if one person sees your post and learns something and changes something in their business, like, that's mm-hmm. worthwhile, I think, to go through that nervousness to get posting on there.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for many of us, you know, who are in service-based businesses, like coaches, consultants, or experts on some level, you know, we kind of enter this business because we want to help people. And yes, we get a lot of joy and fulfillment from seeing people transform and you
seeing
know,
those light bulbs go off. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I receive messages a lot from LinkedIn of just people that have consumed my free content that have shared, you know, how it's helped them. And that's really fulfilling. And that's really rewarding as well along the way. And many of those people, you know, become clients down the track too. So building that ecosystem and really sort of showing up, adding value and having that integrity and authenticity, I think, with yourself and with the brand and your own brand and how you want to show up is really important too.
Yeah. And even if they don't work with you, obviously getting permission, but you could share their information with or without a name, whatever their preference is, as a way of showing up with testimonials. They don't have to work with you in order for you to get a testimonial. People sometimes forget that. If someone hasn't paid, it's not a testimonial. And that's not the case. Any free content you're putting out there, you could use those types of things, obviously, like I said, getting permission as a testimonial. So how crucial is personal branding on LinkedIn for coaches and entrepreneurs? And what are some effective ways to establish and grow a compelling brand on that platform?
From my perspective these days, like, a personal brand is not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity in your business, especially if you are your brand. Yes. Like, you don't have a choice. And so one of the things that I always sort of come back to is people buy from people. And so LinkedIn, we can, you know, kind of, we can relate to the platform a lot in terms of, you know, it can be a bit stiff and corporate or a bit kind of different perhaps to other platforms we've been on before. And at the end of the day, you're still interacting with people on there. So even if someone's in a corporate suit and tie, whether you're selling business to business, B2B, or business to consumer, B2C, at the end of the day, we're all selling to humans. So it's actually B2H, business to humans. That's kind of where we want to get to. And one of the biggest differentiators that you'll have, you know, because we, you know, the coaching, consulting, service-based world is very competitive, can feel very saturated, you know, when they're out there promoting your services. And one of the biggest differentiators will be your personal brand, because people will say, you know, hey, I could go to 10 other providers for this same service on a surface level, but they'll want to work with you because X, Y, Z.
You're the unique selling proposition. Yes.
Exactly. And so being able to really articulate that and portray that on the platform is really important, because I always sort of come back to, like, you can't sell a secret. So you could be the most highly qualified, highly trained person with all these letters and, you know, credentials and everything behind your name. But if no one knows that you exist, they don't ever have a chance of working with you. And so that's where your personal brand really comes in, is being able to showcase the work that you've been able to do in the past and do it in a way that feels really good for you as well. So it's really about highlighting a lot of your strengths and experience and genuinely wanting to help people. And that's a really, really good place to start. So when we think about, you know, starting to share your personal brand on LinkedIn and some of the content that you can share, there's kind of three pillars to think about. The first one is you want to create connection. So we want to create a human connection on the platform because it is a networking platform at the end of the day. And a lot of business comes out of relationships that you've been building on the platform too, in the short term, but also in the long term as well. So this is something that you build, you know, for years to come, and people can really surprise you, you know, when they come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I've been following you for 12 months or I've been following you for 6 months. Now I'm ready to work with you. And you're like, who is this person? But great.
Exactly. You're not following me. That has happened before. That's wild.
Exactly. So you want to always build that connection. Don't be afraid to show a little bit of the person behind the profile on LinkedIn. In fact, when you do, that gives you a lot of cut through on the platform and you'll be able to grow a lot faster than other people. The next thing is the credibility side of things. So obviously people need to know that you can actually deliver on what you promise and you're good at what you do. So it's about really being okay to have a bit of a humble brag every now and then about the work that you're doing, the work that you've done in the past as well. And then we also want to make sure that your personal brand is converting and the content that you're doing is actually converting. So, you know, there's different strategies if you want to build millions of followers on the platform and feel really popular. I think that's awesome. And if that's what you want to do, that's great. But where I sort of come from and the strategies that I teach is really about building your business and actually having a direct link to your business results. So you never feel like you're putting in all of this time and effort and you have nothing to show for it. You actually want everything to strategically lead to your sales process and making sure that everything really aligns to building the business that you actually want at the end of the day as well. So they're sort of the three key sort of pillars that I'm always operating under, is the connection, credibility, and conversion on the platform.
Brilliant. When you're talking about your profile, because it is a totally different animal than any other social platform out there.
Yeah.
What is your focus for your sort of profile description, if you will?
Yeah. So it's really important, like upfront, we have all of the key elements there as well, because people on average will spend around 6 seconds on your LinkedIn profile before they will decide whether they're going to jump off and view someone else or if they're going to read more. So I think a big mistake that a lot of people make is not using visual media on their profile. Number one, like we've got the cover image, we've got the profile picture there as well. So if you are one of those people, I'm calling you out, if you've been afraid to show your face or have your profile picture on there, that is the first thing that you can actually change and take action on today, because having visual media on your profile will actually increase your profile views on average by 21 times someone else that doesn't have any visual media on their profile. So that's one way that you can really stand out. So that's first and foremost. And then the other thing is you really want to make sure that you're actually utilizing all of the real estate, like I call it on LinkedIn, is that you've got a certain amount of characters in your headline and also in your about and your summary section. So you actually want to make sure you're utilizing all of that space, because that helps the algorithm and the search results for you to start ranking higher than other people, perhaps in your industry or in your niche, when we actually do that, because LinkedIn is very, very keyword sensitive and keyword heavy in terms of how it operates. So the more keywords that you can actually have around what you want to be known for and the work that you're doing. For example, you know, if you're an executive coach, you want to have executive coach in your title and in your headline in order to actually rank when people are intentionally searching for that on the platform. So yeah, a couple of key things there is sort of visual media and making sure that you're actually utilizing all of the available elements that you have on the profile to make sure that in LinkedIn's eyes, you actually have a full profile. And then the platform can actually help you get found a lot easier.
Brilliant. And I'm assuming the same is true for Pinterest and everywhere else. You don't want to keyword stuff like that. Executive coach, comma this, comma this, comma this, comma this. Like nobody wants to read that. people are mm-hmm. popping off your profile immediately. So you want it to yeah. be more in a paragraph format, correct? Like a reading format, I am assuming.
Totally. Yeah, it has to be engaging. It has to show and weave through a bit of your story as well. And again, it comes back to creating that connection. You know, when people jump on your profile, there has to be some sort of connection that pulls them in. And then also you want it to convert. So you want to make sure that you've got really clear calls to actions in there about what is that next step that you want someone to take once they jump onto your LinkedIn profile. Where do you want them to go? You know, do you want them to book a call with you? Do you want them to, you know, download your free resource? Do you want them to jump on a masterclass with you? Like, what is it for you? And just making sure that everything on your profile is aligned to those people taking that action.
Perfect. Can you share a strategy, like an organic growth strategy for coaches or basically service-based businesses looking to really build a 6 or 7 figure business on LinkedIn without any paid advertising? What's a strategy that you might be able to share?
Yeah, for sure. So I've done it myself. So I've really gone back and reverse engineered exactly, you know, what I did and what happened. And that's sort of, you know, what I teach a lot of my clients as well. And it really comes down to 3 kind of key steps that you want to think about. The first is alignment. So making sure that you've got everything set up in your foundations, your profile, everything is aligned with the goals of your business and what you're wanting to do. Then we want to really start to accelerate things and grow your network, because the more eyeballs that we have on our new profile that is all shiny and new and looks amazing and is a lead generating machine, the better, right? And so we want to start to really build our network with the right kinds of people on the platform as well. And then we really want to amplify that as well, because one of the things is consistency in business, as you would know, Jen. And so it's no point doing it for a week where you do 1 or 2 posts and then you think, oh, this isn't working for me, I'm on to the next thing. Like, it is something that you have to be consistent with over time as well. So the way I like to think about it is, you know, any great sporting team out there that we have, what sport are you into, Jen? What's your favorite sport?
Football. The 49ers. Football. We're coming up on the playoffs. Yeah.
All right. So football, you know, they have, every team will have an offense and a defense strategy. And some people and some teams will be stronger in their offense or stronger in their defense. But ultimately, if you want to win the game, you're going to need to have both. So if you want to look at building a 6 or 7 figure business through LinkedIn, we want to make sure we've got both. So we think about it in creating our defense strategy is our profile and our content and growing our network, because then we've got a way that we can, you know, really create that net where people can come and find us and have a really safe and secure way of coming into our world and then ultimately wanting to work with us. But then we also need to have a defense strategy as well, which is where we're actually showing up and being proactive on the platform. And we're starting to identify who are those people that we should be working with on the platform. And we can really go out and we can start to message those people and we can start to create relationships in the DMs of LinkedIn and do it in a way which is not sleazy and spammy and all sorts of things like most people do on the platform. Like, I'm sure some of us have had those messages
we get. Holy cow.
Yeah. So in our tribe, we call them our pitch slap messages, which is definitely what we don't want to do. It's like those big, long messages that are just, you know, all about the other person and just, they feel gross and icky. So we don't want to show up like that, but we actually do want to show up and build relationships intimately through the DMs on LinkedIn as well. And that's our defense strategy. And when you combine those two, that's when things really start to move. And that's when things really start to accelerate on the platform.
And I imagine too, that one of the ways that you can start that, because it feels crazy to jump in someone's DMs without ever seeing their content or having a conversation, would be to do, like you had mentioned earlier, commenting. So they post a blog or they post information, comment on there. Oh, I really loved point number 3 because of XYZ, like an actual compliment. And once you do that a couple of times, then it feels more natural to get into those DMs, mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had, you know, one of my clients do exactly that. You know, she's working with really high level CEOs as well. And sometimes these people are hard to get in contact with, you know, when
they have zero time. Yes.
Exactly. And so she was really strategic about, you know, how she did that and her approaches and the comments and the messages that she would send as well. And we made sure that they were, you know, really kind of aligned and authentic, but also were leading towards driving the business as well. You know, we're not just having nice chats about the weather. We're actually adding value and making sure there's some good context there as well. Yeah. And when she did that, she made some really great relationships out of it. And she 4X'd her sales in the business as well.
It sounds like you're getting to the point honoring people's time, right? You're not doing all the fluff stuff. They don't need the fluff. You're brand new to them potentially. So being sort of getting to the crux of it, because otherwise it is a huge time waster. And I know everyone here has seen those types of messages. So we all know. Okay. What are some metrics that we should really sort of focus on in measuring success on our return of our time investment on LinkedIn?
Yeah. So there's all sorts of different ways that you can measure things. Obviously, one of the key things that we want to measure is making sure that we're growing the business through leads coming into the business and ultimately sales as well. So we want to be making sure that everything we do is like kind of tracking through to our sales pipeline and we're building the right kinds of opportunities. So lots of metrics that you can track there in terms of who's engaged, how many conversations you're having, and then ultimately how many clients you're getting. And then from a LinkedIn point of view, when we're looking at the platform, one of the things I like about the platform is they do have metrics that you can look at as well. One of the key things is your profile views. And so
I love getting the little email that said you've been seen by 45 people. I'm like, woohoo! And I did nothing today on there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that's one of the first things that we look at is really around your profile view. So particularly if you're going from like not posting at all and not doing anything on the platform to then starting to post content, you can actually identify what pieces of content are really working with your audience as well, based on how many people are coming back to view your profile. And you can also have a look at the content metrics themselves too. So looking at the impressions, looking at the likes and the comments and the reshares and things like that as well. They're all data points that will help to inform your decision around what's working and what's not for your particular audience as well. So then you can really start to double down on what's working and really start to explode from there. So, you know, on average with us, we want to see an increase of profile views by like 350% in the first 90 days would be, you know, something that on average happens. And so you want to be tracking those numbers over time as well. It's really normal too that as you start to progress and as you start to share content for the first time, LinkedIn kind of wants to test you as well. And this goes back to what we're saying about consistency, because LinkedIn is kind of thinking like, hey, are you just a one-hit wonder on this platform? Like, are you actually going to be here for a while? What's going on?
Do we trust you yet?
Yeah. And so you'll find that over time, like once you really know your numbers, you'll see spikes and you'll see maybe a few little dips or plateaus and things as well. And the biggest mistake I see a lot of people making is if they dip or they plateau early on, they kind of throw their hands up in the air and they go, oh, it doesn't work for me. When in actual fact, that's just LinkedIn testing you. And once you kind of get through that, then you kind of see a little bit more. So I think the data that you can get is really informative around making decisions based on what's actually happening, not how we feel about it. Because we can always feel like this post did worse or this post did great or I put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah, I always call it the gut instinct way of looking at KPIs is not helpful.
Yeah.
And you will learn what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy doing, but you won't really know data unless you look at the data.
Exactly. So there's just a couple of things that you can look at. You know, if you're using like Sales Navigator, which is another part of LinkedIn, which is like a paid version of LinkedIn, there's a lot more that you can track in terms of lists and leads and things like that. But I think if you're just getting started, like those profile views are really key just to show your progress and your visibility on the platform when you're getting started.
What three things have helped you to grow your business? We're going to get to the freebie that you're offering, which I know everyone's going to want to partake from. But for right now, what are three things that really helped you to grow your business? And again, it could be like tools or advice.
I mean, I think the most obvious one is LinkedIn. So I would have to say that because even before I had a website, like I was so embarrassed of my first website when I first launched and like the links didn't work. It looked horrible. It was just awful. But I went out and I did it anyway and I started the business anyway. And so I actually used LinkedIn as like my number one tool to really launch and get started and still accounts for majority of my business and leads today. So that would be the first thing. It would be getting out there on social media. So LinkedIn was my platform of choice. But I think if you're looking at social media as a whole, you really do need to be seen. And so if people don't know that you exist, they can't work with you. And so that was the biggest thing for me is getting out of my own way to do that as well, even though I was scared, even though I was doubtful, all of the things, all of those same feelings, you know, came up. but I just move forward anyway. So that was sort of the biggest thing. And then I think the other part to it is just staying consistent over time. I see it a lot, you know, with people that I work with, especially if you're leaving a corporate career and going out on your own. The quicker you can be comfortable with uncertainty, the quicker your business will grow.
Yeah.
Because we have to get used to operating in this uncertain world. And it obviously resonates with you, Jen.
It does. And that goes for financially, but also in the work that you're doing, right? Because we can pivot any way we want. We own our business. And sometimes we just kind of have to get focused and consistent. And then the business starts coming in. And then we get all this business and we kind of let go of the marketing because we don't have time for it. And then we have a slow period. And people are like, what? The market's so bad. And I'm like, I haven't seen anything from you on social media, or I haven't seen any emails from you, or no blog posts. Like, hello.
Yeah.
You can't take your props
so, absolutely. And so, you're absolutely right. It's that consistency, you know, of your marketing, regardless of, you know, how many clients you're working with. Even when I've been fully booked, you know, in the past, I've still had my marketing running because it is so, so important to not have those peaks and troughs and that kind of feast or famine that we can experience sometimes in the business. So that's the other thing. And because your results snowball over time as well, you know, the effort that we put in now, we think about, you know, we want a result the next day, which is great. And often that happens. You get a lot of quick wins and short-term results. But what I think a lot of business owners don't think about is what's that compounding effect in 5 years' time or 10 years' time? You know, when brands start to reach out to you, or even earlier than that, right? I've just sort of said 5 to 10 years, it can happen a lot sooner. But, you know, brands start to reach out to you because you've built a reputation in the market, and then things really start to snowball from there. So it's the consistency. And then I think the last part, I mean, I am a coach and consultant, so of course I'm going to say this, but I think investing in a coach or mentor the whole way through has been absolutely instrumental for me. That's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to do, you know, more of the coaching side around, you know, LinkedIn in particular, when my business kind of pivoted towards that, was, you know, people were naturally saying like, hey, I've seen what you've built. Can you teach me how to do it? And so that's kind of how my business really started to grow, was just helping people with the shortcuts. They don't have to go through the mistakes. And so I've always thought, you know, what is that next level in my business? Where do I want to go? Who's already there? How can I work with them? I'm happy to pay for the shortcuts. I'm happy to pay for the proximity. Yes. Like, it's an investment. And so then, you know, you're buying back your time because you're not spending 3-4 years figuring it out on your own. You're actually just doing it in 6 to 12 months and just getting the results. So that's always been my mentality in business, is, you know, every time there's a new level, it's a reinvestment to get there.
Yeah, I always liken that to the fast pass at Disneyland. You have to pay for it, but then you're getting on all the rides that you want to get on. So having a coach that's telling you that's at that next level, they don't have to be a full expert, as long as they're just a step ahead of you, working with them, that investment is light years in terms of how your business can grow from it. So right about now, I know people are thinking, I wonder how Amy can help me. So what is a service that you offer for entrepreneurs and small businesses that they could work with you in terms of getting help on LinkedIn?
The main way that people work with me is through my in-demand program. So it's specifically for you if you're a service-based business owner, maybe you're just getting started, or you're working with a few clients and you're wanting to grow to like 30, 50K months in your business and do it in a way that's organic, where you don't have to invest a lot of time and money into ads, and you want to use LinkedIn as the main platform. So you know that your clients are on LinkedIn, but you're just not sure how to use it. So that's our tribe, our membership, where a lot of people come in, and we have regular coaching and training and support to give you all those shortcuts and to give you all the swipe files and all of the things that we've tried and tested, so that you can just plug and play and run with that in your business as well. So that's the main way that people work with us. The other way is if you're just wanting to get started with your profile, and it's just your profile needs a bit of a renovation, a little bit of an upgrade, then we do that on your behalf as well. So if you don't have the time right now and you're not sure how your profile should look, then you can just hand it off to us and we support you with making sure that your foundations are really good on LinkedIn as well. So they're the two main ways that people work with me. I also do keynote speaking and training for other bigger corporates as well. If you're running with a team, that could be something for you too.
Perfect. Tell everybody what you're offering as a freebie to give to all of our listeners and basically how it can help them.
We've talked a lot about, you know, different strategies and different things on LinkedIn. What I'm happy to share with you is my ultimate LinkedIn blueprint, which is a downloadable that you can get. And a lot of the things that we've talked around in this episode, it will help you to apply them. You can grab a copy of that. And then there's some scripting in there. There's all sorts of things that will help you really get started on the platform and help you to be brave and help you to know that you've got the right strategy in place to get started. So use that to its full advantage on the platform.
Yes, I'm going to put all of the links down below in our show notes. And if you found some ideas or tips that you could really implement in your business today, we would love to have you leave a review because that helps us so much in this podcast area. And I just want to thank you, Amy, so much for your valuable time, but also your valuable advice today, especially because it was an area that we're missing. Go out there and do something good for your business and take action, like snagging Amy's gift that we have for you, because I feel like if you wanted to listen to this episode because you want to do better or get started on LinkedIn, this is a great way to do that. And definitely put some time on your calendar to actually go through it and implement it in your business too. Don't just download it and not do anything with it, because that's not going to help anybody. All right. Thank you so much and have a great day.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Jen.
Hey, podcast listeners, Jen here. Are you struggling with marketing your business, feeling overwhelmed by the demands and unsure of how to attract your ideal clients? Well, we've got the solution for you. Introducing our second annual Creative Marketing Summit, a virtual event happening from February 13th through the 15th in 2024. Join us as we bring together industry experts who will share their invaluable insights and actionable strategies to help you transform your marketing game. Whether you're a business owner or a female entrepreneur in the service industry, this summit is your ticket to success. And thanks to our premier sponsor, Tailwind, it's 100% free. So mark your calendars for February 13th through the 15th in 2024 and go sign up right now at creativemarketingsummit.com or click the link in the show notes. Welcome back to Marketing Strategy Academy podcast, where we help female entrepreneurs go from marketing overwhelm to an easy, streamlined strategy and system that includes Pinterest and repurposing content to grow their businesses when they have very little time. I'm your host, Jen Vasquez. Let's jump right into it.